So we're going to play a couple of tracks from the album as part of the podcast. Which two do you think we should play that best characterize the album?
Well, I could be really cruel and name you the two longest. All right, the two that I think best characterize the album. I think The Storm Clouds, which is the first song on the record, is really characterful, really symbolizes the album in the sense that it's incredibly simple, quite repetitive, quite nursery rhymey, but very dark. It's a murder ballad, in fact, and I think that kind of sums up the sort of nature of the sort of things we go into on the record.
Ellie's watching the storm clouds gathering across the bay, and she knows when they're coming, although they're many miles away. Ever since she was a young girl, she's been praying for the rain. Alice watching the storm clouds gathering across the bay. Alice passing the night watch, passing for security. Nobody ever saw her coming, nobody ever saw her leave. Ever since she was a young girl, she's been waiting patiently. Sometimes you have to put the light out to set the darkness free. Alice watching the cold eyes that took so many years away.
This is Going Underground, a podcast from the music and arts blog yorkcalling.co.uk. I'm your host Graham Smith, and this week I'm joined by Mark Pearson from the Anglo-American folk trio Morning Bride. Mark is the band's Yorkshire contingent based out of Filey, and as Mark explains, the seaside town acts as an inspiration for their new album, Goodbye Seaside Danny Wilde.
The concept really behind the album is to kind of take a snapshot of the kind of personalities and the situation and the sort of culture that we find ourselves in, being from the Yorkshire coast and having moved back here and kind of immersing myself in the sort of local seaside town life, and for all its kind of pros and cons. This album was a bit of a departure for us and for me from a writing perspective, in the sense that I tried to make it more of a concept album to tell more stories of personalities or combinations of personalities and stories of, you know, people within our sphere, if you like, especially from that kind of slightly faded seaside town, dead of winter kind of weirdness, if you like. And that's not a disparaging term, that's, you know, something that we're quite drawn to.
Breaking out across the bay.
And what inspired you when you were writing the album? I mean, who were you listening to? You know, what were you consuming? You know, what was going through your mind?
Musically, the album is definitely a bit of a departure in the sense that it's really stripped down, really DIY, really kind of campfirey. We wanted that feeling about it to kind of fit with the nature of the songs. Previously, it's been a bit more bombastic and band electric heavy, if you like. And I guess the sort of touchstones for me, from an influence point of view for this record, are things like Elliott Smith, The Magnetic Field, 69 Love Songs. I love the kind of DIY approach of that. And using like cheesy Casio keyboards in a very kind of grandiose fashion is somehow fitting with that as well, I think. The Velvet Underground, their third record, is a constant kind of influence for me, kind of soft, warm, dark, deceptively simple tunes, if you like. People like Leonard Cohen are big influences, Lou Reed, Patti Smith, all kinds of different things.
And what was the recording process like?
So completely different. It's funny you should ask. Our previous albums have been written, been recorded in 2 to 3 days in their entirety, in these kind of crazed whirlwind sessions, in tiny studios, in kind of frenetic urban areas of London. And this one was completely different, recorded in the room where I'm talking to you from, my living room here within striking distance of the sea, here in Filey. Very relaxed, kind of chipping away at it. It didn't feel like there was any massive rush because, you know, there was no kind of clock ticking from a payment point of view or whatever. So it was very DIY.
And for anyone who hasn't heard Morning Bride before, I mean, how would you describe your sound to them?
It's really tricky. Well, I'll tell you what, this is an interesting indication if people are interested in that. We're definitely quite Americana, but we're not Americana enough for that scene. We're definitely pretty folk, but we're not folk enough for that scene. We're definitely kind of what used to be called indie, but we're not indie enough for that. We're definitely a bit country, and we're not country enough for that. So we're kind of the uncharacterizable, uncategorizable offspring of all those genres. You know, I'm very sort of driven and addicted to writing kind of pretty, hopefully beautiful, often quite dark songs, which are brought to life by Amity's voice, which is, I mean, I would say this, but it's just absolutely sort of gorgeous and rich, powerful and really fragile at the same time. And that's the combination that I'd like to think works best on the record.
Early in the show, I asked Mark which two tracks characterise the album best. Here's his second choice.
And I would also say the title track or near title track, which is Seaside Danny Wild, which is a kind of sad, reflective look back over somebody's heyday here at the seaside, which seems kind of a long way away and is quite melancholy, to say the least. But it's ultimately, I think, quite uplifting, like I hope our records turn out to be generally.
Of the Thunderdome, we came from distant black holes and in to the light. We'd shed our broken skins of blood and rust, forgetting that we came from dust and ashes, and return ourselves to salt and sand. Those were the days when you and I, where we belong, those were the days, my love, when I could still turn you on a sixpence. Oh, Danny boy, sing me a song from when I used to make her smile. Cause the seaside ain't the seaside without Seaside Danny Wild. Oh, Danny, there but for
this is your third album. How does it compare to your other two?
We've kind of accidentally taken a bit of a journey, if you like, with the LPs. The first one, Lee Valley Delta Blues, we recorded, 7 or 8 weeks after I put the band together in its entirety. So it's really frenetic. That's full kind of drums, bass, guitars, cellos, you know, all kinds of different elements in there. That's very kind of big and electric and live feeling, if you like. The second record was kind of downsized and more kind of basement orientated and was warmer. The drums were less heavy, it was more percussive. You know, there was barely any bass in it. It kind of downsized somewhat. And with this record, it's gone a stage further down that line where it is really just voices, guitars, you know, our cheap little Casio keyboard, a bit of percussion, a bit of the odd weird sounds here and there. But it's kind of a natural devolution rather than evolution, if you like. And I think a big part of that is because we wanted Amity's voice to take centre stage much more rather than fighting with lots of different elements.
just you and me, oh Danny boy. The last man standing, dead man walking, stranded on the platforms of our heyday. We're burning fossils, turning into smoke. A cartoon picture, postcard joke, and Billy Butlin's turning in his grave. These are the days I thought that I would never have to pass, where everything is built to break, nothing ever lasts forever, forever. Oh, Daddy boy, sing me a song from when I used to make her smile. Seaside ain't the seaside without seaside Danny Wild. Oh, Danny, there before the grace of whatever God you embrace. It was those seaside days that saved us, and those days will never die. 'Cause the seaside ain't the seaside without seaside Danny Wild. 'Cause the seaside ain't the seaside.
My thanks to Mark Pearson of Morning Bride for being this week's guest. Check out our review of Goodbye Seaside Danny Wild on the website now. The album is released tomorrow and available in all the usual places. I hope you'll join me next week when I'll be chatting to Canadian singer-songwriter Jordan Hart. See you then.